This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is hour number two, Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio. Coming up, Patrick Stevens is going to join us in 35 minutes, Washington Post. We're going to talk all things brackets, as the selection show was yesterday. I saw a question on Twitter that says, are you going to miss Kentucky, Louisville, and Duke in the NCAA tournament? So my question is to anybody about that situation, did you watch this tournament only because of Kentucky, Louisville, or Duke, or all three, or two of three, or one of three? I mean, was this an important criteria for your enjoyment of the college basketball tournament? What is the madness of March? Did it have to have a Duke element to it? I know it's the first time since 95. Many of you, that's probably the only thing you know, is that Duke is least as consistently in. But does it have to have Duke for you to be interested in, or Louisville, or Kentucky? Isn't the tournament enough, the format enough, the selling point? Look, we always talk about playoffs. You know, you play to get to the postseason, but you can have some great elements to the regular season that makes the drive towards the playoffs fun. You see it in football, where I think every one of us at some point in our NFL fandom has to do my team needs to win the next two games, and they need losses by this team, and this team, and then they have to have another loss. We've all done that. It's fun. It's kind of like if you're on the bubble, if you will, that's the kind of things you do. College basketball, the joy of the postseason is this crazy thing that most of us take part in. Even people who don't follow college basketball fill out a bracket. It's one of the reasons we gather to watch, because we filled out a bracket. Right? Most of us get excited when there's an upset, even if it destroys the bracket. Was the whole thing, all of the excitement and all of the joy and heartache, and was it really Kentucky, Duke, and Louisville oriented? It's okay that these teams aren't in this tournament. There are plenty of very good basketball teams without those three in the field. All right, it's Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio. Good, the Bad, and the Dumb coming up next.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, Patrick Stevens, Washington Post, joining us in about 30 minutes, I'm sorry. But we got the good, the bad, and the dumb Monday edition, because he's had all weekend to process all the good, all the bad, all the dumb. Let's get started. What's the good of the day?
The good of the day is I'm going to highlight spring training baseball, because you know what? Spring training baseball is a little bit different than you say your preseason NFL games or preseason basketball games, because you have fun stuff.
You do. That's
right. You get rare moments that you would never see anywhere else, like I'm trying to find the batter's name, and for whatever reason, I can't find it. I lost it, but a batter had a 22-pitch walk.
Yeah, for the Mets.
For the Mets.
Yeah, Luis Guillorme.
There you go.
Yes.
22-pitch walk. That's impressive.
I'm surprised in a spring training game after like 10 pitches, they didn't go, stop! Let's just stop the game right now.
Well, it's funny that you said that, because the real good of the day is a game, I believe it happened on Saturday, between the Giants and the Indians. Now, before the game, these two teams agreed to go a full 9 innings, regardless of the score.
Oh, good.
Because the Indians, who were the visiting team, had brought extra pitchers to try to work out.
Oh, good for them.
Yeah, so we get to the top of the ninth, we get to the middle ninth, right? Giants are the home team. Giants won the game 5-4. But they agreed to play that last half inning. The umpire said, no, game's over. So the umpires left, leaving catcher. Wow, man, I just lost it. This is terrible, man. Like, my screen just like moved and up, like the link updated. Bo Taylor, who was the catcher for the Indians, calling balls and strikes behind the plate.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that was fine.
Yeah, you know what? Actually, both teams were like, you know what? That was working for us. And it probably helped that technically the Giants had already won the game. So it was just like, you know, whatever. We're just our own batting practice at this point.
Yeah.
But there was a funny moment where the play-by-play, the guys in the booth weren't really sure what Bo Taylor was calling. And so they had it written down as a 4-1 pitch going for a fifth ball.
Good for them. Yeah, they might as well have some fun pulling this out.
Yeah. But you know, but you don't get that. You won't get that in an NFL game. You won't get in NFL games like, hey, you know what? We want to go one extra quarter. We brought some extra guys. We just want to work them out a little bit more.
If anything, everybody wants to go home.
Like, right.
Let's not even do this. At least there. Yeah, you know, this year with spring training, it's been so filled with, like, early in the spring training, they were going like 5 innings, 6 innings, 7 innings.
Yeah.
That was it. Just playing a couple. Then they're starting to progress into more, more innings of the game. So they're really working it out. But I like what you kind of implied there. Like, all of these teams are just using this for what it's for. Like, we're working out players. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, you added a couple extra pitchers. We want to see them in an in-game situation. We know that this last inning is meaningless, but Giants, do you mind, you know, coming up to bat one more time so we can throw these out there?
Yeah.
And if you added that last half inning, the Giants won 7-4. But it'll go down in the official spring training record book as a 5-4 win.
Yeah. So that 22 pitch that Guillorme had against the Cardinals.
That's impressive.
That's impressive. That's very. Yeah. That would have been impressive on a Tuesday night in July.
No. So, God, 22 pitches. I mean,
that's amazing.
I mean, at that point, your pitcher's satisfied his pitch count. Time to just pull him out of the game.
Yeah. All right. He's not throwing one more. Okay. That's enough. All right. What's the bat of the day?
The bat of the day is we found out over this weekend that we don't need the royal family for drama. Family drama, marital drama. No, we don't. We have our own man-made drama, American-made drama here.
Oh, who could we be talking about?
We could be talking about the maybe rumored split, called off engagement, maybe not. I'm really not sure between A-Rod and J-Lo, or that they like to be called J-Rod.
Is this because of that woman on Southern Charm that I've heard about?
You know what? That could be there. I mean, there are reports that they split their engagement. Then J-Rod came out and said, no, we haven't called off the engagement. We're working through things. But TMZ seems pretty adamant that, no, this is they're done.
Every morning I read the New York Post. Every morning. I love the New York Post. And they cannot stop with the stories about this woman from this TV show and her potential affair with A-Rod.
Yeah.
So I know it through this sort of osmosis of seeing these stories when I'm reading about whatever's going on in sports. I keep seeing these headlines, and I kept going, oh, well, there you go. There's a connection here. There's got to be, right? I mean, it's been all over the news, and then all of a sudden J-Lo's like, that's enough. And how long were they together? A couple of years, right?
Yeah, they've been together. I mean, they've been engaged for 2 years. I think they've been together a little bit longer than that, maybe like at least 4 years.
Okay.
This is a long time for them.
And it's both, they've both been married before. I know Mark Anthony, she married Mark Anthony, but I think A-Rod was married before he got divorced. And so, yeah.
Yeah, but to complicate things a little bit more, there is a certain someone in A-Rod's life that is shooting his shot at J-Lo, and that's Jose Canseco.
Oh, my goodness. Really?
Is it a surprise?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, Jose Canseco, he has a lot to say about this.
Why wouldn't he? Exactly. Just jump right in, right? Jose, just put yourself in the A-Rod story like you do all the time.
Yeah, he said, you know, Jose, Jennifer Lopez, by the way, I'm single, and I can be faithful.
Good old Jose.
You know, you need a man that will be by your side 24/7, who is older than you are, and it's broke. I fit that category perfectly.
Wow, perfect.
And then he said, I would fight for you, but I have two torn shoulders and a bad knee from my last fight.
He is funny. He's very funny.
I love Jose.
Jennifer Lopez is one of those movie stars / entertainers that she gets better looking every year.
She does. Older. Yeah, there's something going on in the waters of Miami.
I mean, really, seriously, like she's better looking today than I thought that when she was in Anaconda with John Voight.
Yes.
Like, just,
and way better than when she was a fly girl on
right,
Living
very
Color.
True. I mean, as she's gotten older, she's just gotten more radiant.
It's ridiculous. I don't know. I don't know if she knows like a really good plastic surgeon or.
That might be it. I mean,
she's just really taking care of herself. I'm not sure what it is.
Exactly.
But I will say this as a offshoot of this, if we're ever hard up for entertainment and we need some entertainment, I got an idea.
Which is?
Reboot the Odd Couple series with A-Rod and Jose Canseco.
I know. That would be kind of funny.
I mean, don't
that
you?
That would be kind of
I
funny.
I mean,
yeah.
I think they fit the mold.
I do too. I mean, A-Rod was on Shark Tank.
Yes.
Right? I mean, he's.
I think he still makes appearances from time to time.
And I think he had his own. They gave him his own show where he helps, like, struggling athletes.
Yeah.
Like, where he's like an athlete. He's like, I played 10 years in the NBA and I have no money. And he's like, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take this. We're going to break this down. We're going to move your money here. We're going to organize your debts. Like, he helps them manage their financial life. Because, you know, he's got the straight up business motif now. Whereas Canseco is right. He's the Oscar Madison of the group.
Of course.
Right? Just hanging around in cut off shirts, waiting around for something to do.
Waiting for something, picking fights with YouTube stars.
Exactly.
Because, you know, they say something about his daughter, or then he goes on and, like, fights in the celebrity or whatever the boxing thing that Barstool Sports does.
Right.
He fights in that, but then skips out on a fight. I don't know. It's.
Canseco's the best.
He's the best.
He's the best.
Talking about UFOs and Bigfoots.
Oh, I know. I know. He's fantastic.
Is it Bigfoot or Big Feets?
Big might be Big Feets.
Big Feets?
What's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day, I mean, we talked about this story last week about the high school basketball announcer who let some racial slurs fly.
Did we talk about this last week?
I don't think we did.
No. Well, I think I saw this Friday.
Okay,
you might be on another radio show doing this story.
I might be. I've been working so much lately. I don't even know what day it is.
I know. You've been really pulling some shifts. So, yeah, this Oklahoma announcer.
He was calling a high school state championship. The national anthem was going on. The mic he did not know was hot, but what's one thing we always know? The mic is always hot.
Oh, especially on the streaming things you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're never off.
You're never off. So, the national anthem was playing. One of the teams, I believe it was a high school in Norman.
Norman, Oklahoma. Yep.
Norman, Oklahoma. They knelt during the national anthem, and he let his feelings fly. And caught ridicule. He used
the N-word. He swore. He hopes they got their butts kicked, but he didn't say butts. I mean, these are high school girls.
Yeah.
I mean, he mentally broke down over high school girls. Like, high school girls, he went full racial, emotional. He let everything fly.
Yes.
And it's his career is done.
His career is done, but he decided to double down on it, by the way.
Yes, I saw this.
And basically blamed his racist outburst.
Diatribe, yeah.
Diatribe, that's an even better word, on diabetes.
He said he had low blood sugar.
Yeah.
And that caused him to
say words that he doesn't normally use.
Yeah. He basically, because he had low blood sugar, let's just make this clear, he became an entirely different person.
Yes.
Than he normally is. Like, normally, I'm this way, like Jekyll and Hyde, but when I have low blood sugar, I'm a completely different individual that's unrecognizable to anybody.
Yeah. Now, I understand you might get a little hangry.
Right.
Sometimes. But I do. I've become hangry myself on an occasion. I'm going to assume that maybe you have become hangry on an occasion or two. But I don't know if that hangriness ever brought you to being a different person.
No, and you know what bothered me the most about that excuse was he was fine up until the kneeling, and then went, like, he wasn't acting when he was on the air, he wasn't erratic. He wasn't going, you know, he wasn't doing it. But the moment the break happened and the anthem was playing and the girls knelt and he thought he was off the air, that's when the blood sugar change, like Bruce Banner turning into the Hulk. That's when it started to morph, right? And he just became this beast. And then he's like, I can't control it. Now, yeah, that was the excuse.
I love dumb excuses, but I don't think we'll ever find one to top this one.
No,
because
no.
Like as one Twitter user reported or commented on this, which I think fits, worst Snickers commercial ever.
No, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
How do you even get to that point? Like, what can I blame this on? Because it's not really me. I still want to do this for a living. Low blood sugar. Diabetes.
And believe me, I don't feel sympathetic for him whatsoever.
Not at
but
all.
Everything he built is gone. I guess he started this internet company and got sponsors and was doing games. That was his project that he started, that he was running. Gone. And I don't feel bad for him, but it's like wake up one day and everything you built has been destroyed.
Because literally,
you could not contain yourself.
His career is over before it really, really got started.
Absolutely.
Because there was a niche there. I mean, you're in Oklahoma. You could probably build this up to almost be an empire in Oklahoma. Done.
I feel like in every market I've ever worked in, there was the one guy that had like the rights to the high schools, and he built a whole industry on it, and he's got his own sponsors, and he built his own. Like, there's always one that was always doing that. And I think he was the guy in that area, and see you later. See you later. Dumb. Really dumb. That's beyond dumb. Unbelievable.
It is amazing.
Outrageous and stupid.
Outrageous
and stupid. All right, coming up, more thoughts on the brackets from Selection Sunday. Patrick Stevens, Washington Post, will join us. We'll get his thoughts on the seating as we continue along. It is Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, your wiper blades chattering or skipping or squeaking, don't compromise your visibility with streaks or smearing on your windows. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. The professional parts people help you navigate their wide selection to find just the right wiper blades for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto Parts will even install your wiper blades free of charge. See better and drive safer with new wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So, Selection Sunday, what a nice treat that was after having the year off. 2 years in the making. Yesterday, naturally when you get the bracket, if you've been playing the tournament bracket game over the last few years, you know that take a 12 over a 5, there's always one, something's going to happen. So immediately people started looking at the 12-5 matchups.
Yep.
I think almost universally, I saw more people interested in the Winthrop-Villanova matchup that's coming up in the South bracket than any of the 12-5s. Now, look, Oregon State made a run through the Pac-12 tournament. They beat Colorado. They've got Tennessee. Tennessee can play absolutely great. I mean, I've seen Tennessee play fantastic, but I've also seen Tennessee play bad, too. And if they are off, Oregon State could make a run. But Winthrop, because I feel like Winthrop's always in this tournament, don't you? Don't you feel like
they're one of those that just keeps winning their conference.
Winning their
I don't even know what conference they're in. That's one of the schools we had talked about. You said this earlier. You know, you don't know where this conference is located. You don't know where the school is located. That's one of the schools.
Yeah, they're in South Carolina.
Is that where Winthrop is?
Rock Hill, South Carolina.
I mean, you could have told me, Maine.
Only reason I know that is I went to South Carolina.
Yeah, you could say Maine. You could have said, Winthrop. They're the pride of Idaho. All right.
A couple of years, in 2004, when I was in Denver, we had one of the regions come into town, and Air Force, who was in the tournament, was in the Denver region. So there was a little bit of a hometown flavor for Air Force fans. But that regional had North Carolina, Syracuse, Maryland with Gary Williams, which was awesome, Texas. They had Princeton with John Thompson Jr. I'm trying to remember some of the other teams that were there, but it was like filled with these blue blood programs. That we got the best region, the first and second round games of anybody in the country. But Winthrop was there too. And it was like, it was cool. Like it was you would go to the arena and you know how they sell these tickets. So like you buy tickets all day, right? You don't just buy one game. So you buy not necessarily all day. You might buy the early day or the night day, right? So you buy like if you're a Texas fan and Texas is going to play in the early round, you might get ticket to see Texas, but you also get a ticket for another game. So you would see huge swaths of the Pepsi Center in burnt orange and in Carolina Blue and in Maryland Red, and this sliver of Winthrop fans that showed up to the game. And it was fun. It was neat. Like a little sliver of Princeton fans that would show up for the game. Meanwhile, the whole place is just dominated by the Blue Bloods. That's the element of this tournament that is fun. That you're right. It is neat. Is when you get a team, you have no idea where they are, you know, and you don't know what conference they play in, and you never saw them play. So that's it. But watch out for the Winthrop Villanova matchup. I think in the end, Jay Wright wins that game. But if I was to take an upset in the 12-5, and sometimes you do and sometimes you don't have to, UC Santa Barbara is another one. People love UC Santa Barbara. And Creighton's kind of shaky right now.
The other one I'm looking at, Georgetown, Colorado.
Georgetown, Colorado. That's absolutely brilliant. Georgetown made a huge, nice run in the East tournament.
And then just dominated that final game.
Yeah. I mean, crushed them. I mean, just that was a great, that's a great story. I preface this by saying I'm not always in favor of just getting the famous alumni person to come coach your school.
But
he gets here. But that's worked for Juwan Howard, and it's worked for Patrick Ewing.
Yeah, although, was it Ewing? We really don't know.
Yeah, we don't know because nobody can recognize
him. We asked Madison Square Garden to confirm, but they couldn't.
Like, nope, no idea who that person is.
Nope. Still, I think that's my favorite story of this tournament season so far.
Can you imagine a security guard at the Madison Square Garden looking at the credential going, Mr. Ewing? All right, enjoy the games.
No. You know he said Ewing?
Ewing?
I've never heard it's an E-wing? Is that a Star Wars thing, E-wing?
A good pronunciation. That's pretty good. You with Georgetown? Are you a coach? Yeah.
Yeah, you're not a player. You look a little old. Crazy. You're kind of limping there.
So, anyway, the tournament starts on Thursday with the play-in games, and then the Friday-Saturday first-round matches. It's going to throw me off.
No, the tournament does not start Thursday.
Well, yes, that's right. It starts Friday.
Yeah, that is kind of weird.
Throws me off in the new COVID format.
I know. I'm not a fan of that. I need my Thursday, Friday.
Yeah, I did not know this until they announced it. So I was in the dark on when this was starting, and then they announced it Friday and Saturday, and I went, oh, because I have a Thursday opening tournament tradition. I go to my local wing place. I stay a long time. I even tell the waitress I'm going to be there a while, so I tip even better because I'm going to take up our table. And I bring my notebook, and I jot down stuff, and I have dessert. And I make it a whole nice, maybe two-hour thing.
Yeah, and you're not going to do that Thursday for opening.
Oh, no. The wing place I go to, I'm not going for.
Yeah, you're going Friday.
I'm not going for these beginning round games. I'm not going for Norfolk State and Appalachian State. Drake, I like against Wichita State. No.
Okay, the only thing I don't like about Drake right now is when you're watching the four letter and they're showing the bracket, like the little matchups on the left hand side, they're abbreviating Drake, which I don't think they need to do, but they're abbreviating Drake DRKE.
Yeah.
So quick glance at it, I'm seeing Duke.
Oh, yeah, good point.
And their uniform color is, like, they have, like, a blue emblem. I can't see it. So that's the only thing I'm not liking about it right now, because when I see out of the corner of my eye, I'm like, Duke's not in the tournament.
That's right. Duke even refused an NIT bid. Good for them. Yeah, good for them. They said, no, we're not.
Yes. Show that you're above them.
You know what's funny about that is that a lot of coaches don't want to say no because they let's get some more games and some more practice. But he's probably looking at his team going, why bother? We're not going to do this anymore. We're done. Let's just call it a day. I'm not going to Texas to play in the NIT.
Yeah.
No, we have a standard.
I don't care if Jerry gives me a personal invite. I'm not going.
It is. You could make the case if you're Coach Mike Krzyzewski. You could say, look, we have a standard here. It's NCAA. No offense to the NIT, but that's not what we do here. We go to the tournament or nothing. That's it. We're not playing in no CBI or any of that nonsense. No, we're going to not going to use us NIT to draw eyeballs to your tournament.
We did some, we'll do those preseason tournaments, especially that one in Maui that wasn't held in Maui this year, but it's still called Maui.
I'll take my team to any preseason event you may want to throw us. That's fine. We're into that. But when it comes to the postseason, we're either in the dance or we ain't dancing. We're sitting on the sidelines contemplating leaving the event.
I don't even know what the knit is.
Yeah. Coach Sheffy. What is the knit? That's a good point. Got it. Patrick Stevens going to join us. Washington Post. All things brackets as we continue. It's Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Yeah, it was nice to have the selection show back on our televisions yesterday. What does it all mean when in terms of the tournament? Let's get Patrick Stevens, Washington Post, on our Progressive guest line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. How are you, Patrick?
I'm well, and you?
Good. All right. I'll preface this by saying I'm not a huge gripe guy. I just think there's a lot of teams in this field. Maybe you have a little bit of an argument. But that being said, were there any teams that should have been in this thing that weren't in this thing?
Not really. I mean, I think, like you say, there's a handful of teams you can sit there and say, how much daylight was there between, say, Syracuse and Louisville, UCLA and Louisville? You can sit there and argue that Colorado State had a good season, but really, like, I mean, all those teams, really, not just in that were left out, but the first four to six or seven teams that are inside the field all have some obvious flaws. So I don't think anybody has real serious complaints at this point. They can certainly wish that they were in. And if you're in Louisville right now, I mean, you're in a situation where you could ultimately be in if there's a positive test that pops up from one of the teams, one of the 68 teams that are in Indianapolis now.
So with that being said, most people had the four teams as number one seeds and had them pretty much locked in for a couple of, you know, maybe a week or so, 2 weeks. But overall, the seeding of, let's say, the top four in every region, did that go to your, in your mind, according to plan? Was there any surprises there?
You know, I thought overall with seeding, I had the committee pegged pretty well. There were only a handful of teams I was surprised by in the entire bracket. I will say the one combination that was a little surprising to me was Oklahoma State as a four and West Virginia as a three. I thought Oklahoma State's overall body of work with 10 quadrant one victories was a little bit better, and not that head to head means only one, only you know, means everything. But Oklahoma State just took two from West Virginia in the last week or so, ended the regular season with a victory, and then beat them again in the Big 12 tournament. So I kind of thought Oklahoma State in totality probably deserved that three seed over West Virginia, but the committee clearly disagreed.
We always look at different ways these brackets formulate the potential matchups, who could be a Sweet 16 matchup or whatnot. The fact that Gonzaga has three teams that are in, that they beat already during the regular season, is that a coincidence, or do you think there's an element of something to that? Is that a legitimate complaint by people who are saying this looks like an easy path for the Zags?
Well, for the situation with Iowa, if you assume Gonzaga was the top number one seed, right? Then you basically, with two Big Ten teams on the one line and two Big Ten teams on the two line, they were going to get the weakest of the two Big Ten teams as the two seed in their bracket. So the Iowa thing is just simply bracket mechanics at work. With Kansas and Virginia, I would assume that's just simply coincidence and how the bracket ultimately fell. You know, I think about the fact that Iowa put up 88 on Gonzaga and is playing a little bit better defense. And I wonder if a team getting a second crack at Gonzaga actually makes it more likely to see a surprise, just because, you know, they have an idea what's coming. Not that that's done anybody in the West Coast Conference any good this season, but you have a better idea of what you're dealing with. I still think Gonzaga is a team that is going to go and it's going to score, and your job is to go do what BYU did for a half and figure out how to score just as well, if not better, as it did in the West Coast Conference Final. But I actually think the familiarity might tend to help a team, particularly whoever comes out of that Iowa-Kansas combination. Kansas has been playing pretty well, assuming that they get to play. And Iowa, I think, has been playing somewhat better defense, certainly better than what it was playing earlier in the season.
Patrick, the Michigan State-UCLA first four matchup, that's kind of an exciting matchup for the audience, but do those two teams deserve to be in that location in that moment?
UCLA absolutely does. UCLA lost, I think, its last four. But more importantly, when you look over its total body of work, it beat Colorado at home, and it swept Arizona, which probably would have been a borderline tournament team had it been eligible. I think UCLA played its way down to that spot. Michigan State, on the one hand, you look at those late victories. They beat Illinois. They beat Ohio State. They beat Michigan. That's a set of three victories that few teams have. At the same time, if you go back to February 2nd, Michigan State just lost to Iowa, and they're 8-7, and it sure seems like they're going to miss the tournament. So if you had offered them that deal back then, they probably would have happily signed up for it. Now, the interesting thing about that matchup is you could have easily paired Michigan State and Drake or Michigan State and Wichita State, and instead you get this pairing. And in fact, I believe the way it worked out was that Wichita State and Drake were the two weaker teams on the seed line. So clearly, I think it's fair to say the committee preferred to have kind of a brand name matchup there in that game rather than pairing a power conference team with a team in a mid-major league or a team in a near-high major league, because that very easily could have happened as well.
Patrick Stevens, Washington Post, joins us. A couple of individual teams, what they're looking like coming into the tournament. Michigan, Isaiah Livers is out. They are a one seed. They've got Alabama in their region. And how, on a level of importance, what kind of blow is that to the Wolverines?
That's pretty significant. Veteran forward does a lot of things for them. And when you look at Michigan, they were rolling along really nicely heading into March, and they've lost three games since the beginning of the month. So Michigan, in some ways, a little bit like Baylor, probably not playing at their peak, at least for what it's been this season. You look in their sub-regional, you know, LSU is really athletic. St. Bonaventure's is one of the best coach teams in the field. And then you look at Florida State, which just can go on and on and on with its roster. I mean, it feels like they've got 30 guys that they play. It's really only about 11 or 12. So that's, I think, a really tough half of that bracket for Michigan to have to deal with. And then you look at the bottom, like you say, Alabama's down there, Connecticut with James Booknight, and Texas, which just won its first Big 12 tournament, all very capable teams that could stand in the way of Michigan making a Final Four.
One team in the Midwest that has me concerned, and 2 weeks ago I loved them, and that's West Virginia. I could see them in a second-round matchup losing to San Diego State or Syracuse if they get by Morehead State. They don't seem to be playing particularly well right now.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that when you look at them, I think their best basketball came earlier in the season as well. And like you say, you know, San Diego State is a team. San Diego State and West Virginia play. That's a game that has the potential to be played in the mid-50s, ultimately.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you look at Syracuse, you think of two of their more recent appearances in the tournament. They were in the first four back in 2018 and wound up ripping off three consecutive wins to make the Sweet 16. And then the last time that they barely avoided going to the first four was back in 2016, and they made the Final Four that year with a little bit of an assist from Middle Tennessee when they knocked off Michigan State in the 2-15 in that regional.
Overall, I mean, in terms of this way this tournament is going to be in Indianapolis, it seems cool because it's new, but do you see any problems with this? Do you see any sort of logistics that could be an issue as we go along?
I'm sure something will pop up, but you can all flip the question around and say, well, what other choice do they really have?
Sure, absolutely.
Than to try to do this. So clearly, let's face it, this entire season was played so that everybody could collect their television money. And no television money is more important than the money that the NCAA is getting from CBS for this tournament. So they need to figure out some sort of way to get this done. And doing it all essentially in one geographic area is how they're going to have to do it. So, you know, I'm sure there will be some things that are annoying and different and are one-time only things. But it's just something everybody has to deal with this year.
Do you like teams? I mean, we get a timeout between the conference tournaments and when this will start, and it's going to be about a week, a little less than a week. Do you still like hot teams, a team like Georgetown, a team even like LSU that played pretty well in the SEC tournament, someone that's kind of on a little bit of a run, on a little bit of a streak, or does that die down enough when we get to the tournament?
We could find different scenarios to back either of those things up. Like I could name you the 2011 Connecticut team that won 5 games in 5 days in the Big East tournament, and then Kemba Walker carried them to a national title. And I can think of, you know, there was a Seton Hall team that was like a 5 or 6 seed in the Big East tournament, you know, maybe 5 years or so ago, that won it and then immediately, you know, lost a 6-11 game as the 6th seed in the NCAA tournament. So I think it depends on the team. I think if you're talking about Georgetown specifically, they played fantastic, winning 4 games in 4 days. It's their first 4-game winning streak of the season. It's the first time they beat 4 Big East teams in a row since 2015. But they were 10-13 going into that. They had been playing better. So I can see them being a pain for maybe a round, maybe two. But I don't necessarily think this is like the beginning of a Final Four run for the Hoyas.
And one final thought is, because of what happened in the conference tournaments with Virginia, Kansas, what's the protocol? How does Tony Bennett's Cavaliers squad get into this thing? What do they have to go through to be cleared to go to Indy?
It is 7 consecutive days of negative tests that they need to be able to produce leading into their first game. You know, they play on Saturday, and that's something else that's kind of interesting too. You mentioned the whole, you know, Gonzaga playing these familiar teams. Well, both Virginia and Kansas are playing in the Saturday-Monday game and not the Friday-Sunday games. So that's an extra day for them to be able to produce those results. So basically, if a team before the end of the day Tuesday says, hey, we've got positive tests, we can't get in, then they have a replacement. They have the replacement teams on hand, Louisville, Colorado State, St. Louis, and Mississippi. If it happens after Tuesday, it's simply going to be a situation where a team gets to move on around, like we saw in the Big 12 and ACC tournaments this past week.
Yeah, that's interesting. So such a new world. Patrick, thank you so much for your time, and hope to catch up with you again soon. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Take care.
You got it. Patrick Stevens, Washington Post, on a Progressive guest line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. All right, so that being said, what is the likelihood of this happening, and what will we think if it does, or a team just gets to move along in the tournament? That's coming up next as we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage, home loans that fit your life, Rocket Can. Our thanks to Patrick Stevens on our Progressive guest line. All right, so like you said, there's teams on standby, right? Louisville, Colorado State. I think St. Louis is a standby team, too. The Billikens? Oh, maybe not. I think the Billikens are, well, I don't know. The Billikens are scheduled to go to the NIT. So
yeah.
I don't know.
Isn't that weird, though? Standby teams? Like, when do they
Forgive
know?
Forgive me for not knowing how this works.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm concerned about. When do they, like, if a team goes out in the Elite Eight, does Louisville get the call, like, hey, we need you to step in?
Nope. Patrick just told us, we were saying, he was saying, like, after this, you get to just advance. So if you, let's say you're Arkansas and you've got a matchup against Ohio State in the Sweet 16. I don't know if that's where they'll meet. I think they'll meet there. And Ohio State gets COVID. Arkansas moves right on to the Elite Eight, just whatever it is. They just move on. What happens if a team is in the Final Four because they just advanced because of COVID?
Yeah.
Will we like that? I mean, listen, we don't have any choice. But will we go, eh, enough. Stupid tournament.
Right. I mean, I said this earlier. If a team advances this way, say if we have a 16 seed over a 1 seed and advances because Michigan came down with COVID,
right?
That we can't put that in the same league as UMBC over.
Virginia.
I mean, we can't even count it in the record books, right?
No, it's
still got to be 16 seeds are 1 for 1,000 against number 1 seeds. We can't go 2. It's gonna be a weird tournament if that happens.
Yeah, I mean, if you get it, especially later, the more it's. I hate to use this, but it's almost like we'll be holding our breath for like, at we get to the next round. Like, please, nobody get COVID. Like, I don't want my Elite Eight to be, you know, here we are with 8 teams, 4 games, and we're only playing 2 because COVID affected 2 teams. And they both had to forfeit their Elite Eight games.
Yes.
Like, I don't want that.
Especially,
if you get the Monday, April 5th, the championship game, Like, move it to May if you have to, but you better play that. Like, well, if I find out we're crowning a champion because the other team couldn't make it because of COVID, I'm going to lose my mind.
We already saw a small outbreak happen in the ACC tournament.
Yeah.
You know, three teams, I think it was three teams, or possibly three, definitely two teams in the ACC tournament. That was all held in one town. Now you're bringing all these teams, and it's going to be held in one town. I'm sure these guys are all staying in multiple, or some of them are staying in the same hotel, right?
That's one of the things I'm not necessarily disagreeing with Patrick, but I think he's right when he said, well, there's really no other choice. There was a choice. You could have done two separate sections. You could have said 32 teams, you are going here, 32 teams, you are going there. And then we'll bubble you for the championship game in Indianapolis. But we are going to make sure that we're not mingling 64 teams in variety, you know, all these different hotels, right, and all these different locations where a small outbreak could really be devastating. We're going to push these aside. I think you could have done that. You could have said Indiana for one and, I don't know, Denver for the other. I don't know.
Drayton.
Wherever.
Because Drayton's not getting Drayton seems to get a tournament game every single year.
For whatever reason, they go there.
It's right next door. Come on.
So that being, or Albuquerque, I don't care. Play in the pit. I don't care. I mean, you could have done that.
Well, you could have had, I think you could have done this with three cities. You could have, like you said, 32 in one city, 32 in another city, and then bring the final four to another city.
Yeah, sure. Sure. But, 64 teams, now 68, because they're going to play these there too. 68 teams gathered in one state, even when you're moving it around from Bloomington and West Lafayette and Indianapolis. I mean, there is a recipe for a little concern here. I mean, we're not out of the woods yet, but, yeah, if we get a number of advancements because of COVID, we're going to not validate this tournament as a public, I don't think. Well, I might be wrong, but I don't think we'll validate it. Thanks for joining us. Wake up call.